AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2, Burlington, Philadelphia. The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome, and thanks for joining us. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what is new this week in recovery news?
So scientists are warning that cocaine addiction makes the human brain age faster. A new study has found that cocaine, one of the most addictive substances known to man, when it's used, tends to make the brain's biological aging system go into overdrive.
Yeah.
Basically, people are found that, you know, due to cell death and inflammation, they believe that people are actually aging faster when they're using cocaine.
The brains are aging
faster.
So what?
Well,
does that mean that dementia, you'll get it earlier? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know about that, but you have to wonder, because cocaine is hitting the dopamine pathways, which, again, some of those areas are tied in with things like Parkinson's and dementia. And so you have to wonder if using cocaine can lead to that coming on earlier. There's no studies on that at this point.
Very, very interesting. I got one here. San Jose Police Union executive charged with attempt to import sell fentanyl. Can you imagine this?
I can.
A 20-year employee of the San Jose, California Police Officers Association has been charged in a scheme to distribute drugs, including fentanyl.
That's horrible. You know, it's horrible. And you wonder, with so much fentanyl out there, how many different people are coming in here trying to make money?
Absolutely. You got anything else? No.
That was it.
I do. I have another fentanyl
story. Hold on, Linda.
Story.
Hold on.
Okay.
Animal tranquilizers are found in 90% of Philly's drug supply. So the people that are not from Philadelphia, Kensington is ground zero for addiction outdoor activities in the United States. And it's called the biggest open-air drug market on the East Coast. So now that area in North Philadelphia is the center of tranq, that drug that is, it's an animal tranquilizer. And it leaves hundreds of people who are using this in such horrible conditions, including many amputations.
Yeah, it's called xylazine. Yeah. And xylazine, we're talking to people that are out in the street in Kensington that talk about how some of these kids are 21 years old, 22 years old, and they're having these amputations. Scars and all kinds of abscesses all down their arms and legs. It's brutal, Gary.
But you know, my question is, everybody knows this. Why are they still doing it?
Well,
because it's sick.
Because of the illness.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we just heard real quick. Linda E. is with us. So that was the voice you just heard. Linda, what do you have? You have a quick one?
I just have a quick one, a local one.
Yeah.
A man died back in March, OD'd in an Uber. And the Uber driver, it's a little complicated because it wasn't the Uber driver that was carrying him at the time, but the one he bought fentanyl from in Kensington in an Uber. He went from Montgomery County, Pennsylvania to Kensington, bought this, what he thought was heroin, and it had the tranq in it and the fentanyl, and he died in the Uber on the way home. And when they got his phone, they discovered the woman, and now she's in jail.
Okay, there you go. Good. That's where she should be. Here's my question before we go to a break. Do you have to go to AA meetings to get sober? Clean and sober. Do you have to go into inpatient? Do you have to believe in God? Do you have to believe in a higher power? When we come back, let's explore all of this stuff when we get back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are also heard on these great radio stations, WGAC Augusta, Georgia, WHFS Tampa, Florida, and the big talker, WWWE 1100 Atlanta, Georgia. So here we are. We're all here together. Mark, welcome back from your trip.
Thank you, Gary. It was amazing.
Fishing trip, right?
Fishing trip down in Florida in the Keys. We have some Florida listeners, actually, from Tampa Bay and somebody from Boca Raton that's tuning in.
That's excellent. And Linda, yes. Welcome to the show again.
Hi.
It's good to have a female perspective on this show.
It sure is.
All right. So before the break, I posed some questions. And, you know, this is ongoing. You know, do you have to do certain things to get into recovery? I mean, you know, the path that most of us are – not brainwashed, but taught, is you get into some kind of treatment. You go to meetings. You believe in a higher power, whatever that is, and a host of other things. Do you have to buy into all this stuff to stay in recovery? And I would love that if our audience would give us a call and check in with us about this, 1-888-728-9941. Give us your honest opinion. You know, nobody's going to judge anybody here. The idea is to get clean and sober. And I personally think no matter how you do it, do it. So that's where we are, guys. What do you think?
You know, it's crazy because studies will actually show that the vast majority of people that get sober stop and they're not doing meetings and all that and they don't go to treatment. But here's the thing. I think there's levels to this, right? Because you'll get somebody that, you know, maybe it was just abuse and or a mild use disorder. They decide to stop. But what I see is when somebody hits needing treatment, it gets to that point where the addiction is that bad. Good luck stopping without some of these other things, especially AA. And NA. I mean, you know, it's funny because they blur the water a little bit now. They say, hey, there's all these other programs and all this. But I'll tell you what, none of that's really been proven like the 12-step programs. And it's one of those things where I mean, in my opinion, like that's the best way to go, you know. And but I work with a lot of resistant clients and things, and sometimes they want to try other things. But I see that people do much better when they're hooking in with AA.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, the more – stuff you have to keep you clean and sober, yeah. the more options, the more resources, the better it is. But I think I know that – I do know some people that have – you know, they went into treatment and that was the end of it and they stayed sober. Now, is it a good sober? Is it a happy sober? I don't know. Linda, what do you think?
Well, same thing. I mean, not everybody has to go to rehab depending. But AA and NA are really proven. And I think one thing you can see is if you look at a meeting list, either for the Philadelphia area or for New York, you will see just such diversity in the meetings. There's women's meetings, men's meetings. There's atheist meetings and agnostic meetings. We try to accommodate everybody but kind of have a bad rap about the steps and people forcing people to do things. And that's kind of old school and not too many meetings do that anymore. So I think people should really give it a try and try more than one meeting. I tell them, try a different meeting every night of the week. Try something and see. You'll find your people if you keep going to different meetings.
I think
meetings.
That people are listening or watching this show right now, if they're still using, and they know that they don't have to do this one way and one way only, I think it might be a little bit of a relief for people to say, hey, I want to get into recovery, but I'm afraid of certain things. Maybe there isn't a different way to do this. You know, I remember clear as day, I guess I was sober for 25 years, and that was 15 years ago. I made a remark in a meeting that somebody didn't like. And when I came out, the person said to me, well, how long have you been sober? And I said, 25. And he said, what, 25 days? And I said, no, 25 years. And then he walked away because, listen, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, there are some other programs these days which I have seen some success, and that's Dharma Recovery is one of them. You know, there's again, and then you get into this whole medically assisted treatment, which is controversial within itself. But yeah, I agree that there are other ways.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I took to, and I think you guys said, I took to meetings very quickly, even though we were scared to go the first time. But a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid to raise their hand. They're afraid to talk. So, you know, find something else.
Well, here's the thing that I run into a lot is isolation is that core symptom of addiction. So I'll get clients that'll come in and they're afraid, that, like you said.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we'll do is we'll slowly start to desensitize somebody to that. You know, hey, just check out one. Hey, just get up your hand and just say, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself. And once they start battling that isolation, it's amazing how a lot of them come around and they start using the program and it starts working for them. But a lot of times you'll get people that are really resistant to it, that you have to work through that resistance, roll with it, and really work through it. You know,
I think people are, told, you have to go into treatment, inpatient, outpatient. Most people do not go into inpatient or outpatient treatment. The majority of the community that's in recovery gets it another way, probably AA meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that, again, like we were talking about levels of this thing and what the game changer has been. And Linda, you probably see this working with your clients is the opioid epidemic, right? The young kids, the young adults, and these young adults leave us scratching our heads because imagine being hooked on heroin, fentanyl, right? And xylazine, and you're 22 years old. This has really made it complicated because it's, you know, somebody's hooked on it at that age. Like, how do they stop? And you're seeing this too, Linda, aren't you? The complications from the opioid epidemic.
There's so much going on with it. It is so complicated. And people are so young. And we sit there and we're saying, oh, well, we're sober, but it's a brain disease, whether it's a drug or the alcohol or both. Your brain is telling you, we like this. We don't need help. We don't need help. We don't need help. Your brain is telling you that, and eventually you believe it, and you just want to keep going. And that's what makes this disease different from everything else, that it's a brain disease. And your brain is going to tell you to keep using. Your judgment is impaired because of your condition, and therefore you may not be able to help yourself.
And also a 22-year-old brain is not a mature brain.
Exactly.
That complicates it too. It stops the growth of the brain. I mean, that's the issue we're having with the marijuana, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, marijuana, when it's used young, the brain doesn't stop developing until around 25 or 26. And what they're finding when there's a lot of drug use young, it impairs that development. And what you're seeing, though, with these young adults is like it's so outer space for them, recovery, right? It's so outer space. I mean, imagine being 20 and you're saying, okay, well, you know I'm going to stop opioids, but I'm not going to stop alcohol. Then the alcohol leads right back to the opioids, and it just leaves a scratch in our heads.
Yeah, it's hard with peer pressure and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I could never have gotten clean at an age like that. It was too much fun stuff to experience, right? Too much peer pressure, too much everything, you know. So let's just say somebody says, all right, wow, I don't have to go to meetings. I mean, I don't have to go into treatment. Yeah, I guess I would recommend at that point, you don't have to go into treatment, but you have to find something.
Yeah.
You have to find something.
Otherwise, you're liable to be miserable. I mean, that's been my experience, right? It's like it's got to be replaced with some healthy things. We call it behavior modification. They love to make big words in the addictions field, but that's like you're taking out the unhealthy and you're putting something in there that's healthy.
Well, you can use that term for food disorders,
right,
for gambling.
All of it.
for all of it, right?
All of it. And it's all backed up by behaviorism. You know, it's all backed up by, you know, and you know what they find? They find that if there's certain keystone habits, they call them keystone habits. And that's like if you make one change, how it can spread to so many other areas. And there's no better example than sobriety. Right? Your whole life changes.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Listen, this is a great show for people to get involved with. Okay? Yeah. Give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. If you're just joining us now, we are talking about options to get into recovery.
Yeah, what does it take? What does it take? Tell us what it takes to get into recovery.
Yeah, well, how did you do it? Did you do it the traditional way? I mean, I'm not very traditional with it. You know, I mean, I believe in the program and mm-hmm. I believe in the meetings and I've been, you know, never used again. But some of my views are a little unconventional.
I would say a couple of them are.
Right?
A couple of them are. But, you know, you have so much recovering people around you, right? I mean, don't you think it's the relationships that keep us clean?
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Look, not everybody in my life is in recovery, but there's enough people like in yours and Linda's that it's a good amount, you know? I want to talk about the steps. Okay, we're going to talk about the steps. I don't buy into all the steps, okay? Don't ask me which ones because I can't remember, but I can tell you this. I don't buy into all the steps. Anybody agree with that? Call us.
Yeah, I know Gary does not buy them all.
No, he doesn't buy them all.
You buy them all?
I do.
I bought them all.
You bought them all?
I bought them all.
Yeah, but if you bought them all, you have to continually buy them all.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
once
just
it's
once
a
and done.
Habit to act that, once it becomes a habit, you're fine. That's why there's a 90 and 90, and that's why you have a sponsor help you with the steps, because you need someone to help you go through it. But once you've gone through it, it is life-changing.
Yeah, I was actually listening to this NA speaker who has 44 years, and he was talking about this when he kind of came to the conclusion that third step, and for people that aren't familiar with the program, that's we turned our will and our lives over to the care of a power greater than ourselves. That's in NA. And in AA, turned our will and our life over to the God of our understanding. But what he was saying –
That's actually not what it says.
Under the care of God.
Yes. Not understanding.
Care of God.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hate to interrupt you, Doctor.
No. It's. I'm glad you said that. But
are you really?
Yeah. No. Thank you, Gary. Thanks for
clarifying.
Jumping in there.
I might not agree with all of them, but I know them all.
You know them all. Yeah. But so this guy was saying that his huge turning point was when he came to this conclusion by reading literature and everything that his higher power is deeply personal. It didn't have to be religion. It didn't have to be anybody else's higher power, that he could find what really worked for him. And that like really opened it up for him, because he was kind of tainted from growing up religious and everything like that. And that was a big turning point.
Yeah, it's interesting. Listen, if you're listening to us around the world right now and you want to watch us, go to Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio, and you can watch us do the show like these fine folks. Mark Willig, Judge Christopher Maddox is watching. Sharon Barson is watching, I think from Florida.
Boca Raton.
Yeah, that's right. Linda Quinn is watching. Let's see. Laura Story. Kathy Moore Huffman is watching. Warren Crispell. Chris Bell is watching. Bob Giro is watching. Joel Cooper. Chuck Williams. Chuck Williams says, have a great show. And he also commented on last week's show that Judge Maddox was a great guest. Robert Mahaney is watching. What do you have? Do you have anything there?
I got Robert Brandeis is watching.
Yeah, Rob Brandeis. Okay,
yes.
Bob. Yeah.
And he's a long timer. Hello, Robert. He's been coming on for
years.
So
that's how those people that Mark and I just mentioned are the people that are listening, of course, but they're watching us also on our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio. So it's fun to watch what goes on in here.
And it's kind of like it's kind of like our own recovery thing on Fridays, right?
Absolutely.
We come on here, we're all sitting here together, and it just helps with your sobriety.
It's a big happy meeting, isn't it?
It is. It's a big happy meeting.
And I think a lot of our listeners and viewers, they expect to see us or hear us Friday afternoons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have some people that have been coming on for many years.
Yeah.
Every Friday.
Yeah, and also we're also heard in those other cities at different times. You know, go to those stations. You know, find out when. Tampa, Atlanta, and Augusta. So you can't watch us then, but you can certainly listen to us all through the week and get some good information.
And I was actually talking to some people in Florida when I was down there that are in the program, and they were asking about this. And I was saying, it's in Florida too, because there's so much recovery in Florida. I mean, the meetings are unbelievable down there. I'm sure there are in Atlanta too.
Those meetings in Florida are so awesome.
Aren't they?
Yeah. My son, when he got out of rehab, we went down there for a week and went to like three meetings a day down in Delray. With this big club. It was fabulous.
Why is it – what makes – is it the weather? Is it outdoors?
It's that there's so many people. We went to an outdoor meeting that was all motorcycle guys, you know, and we just met some great people. And the recovery down there is awesome. And it was a great thing to do right after rehab, to get in the habit that way without having to try to do it at home and break your habits.
And there's a lot of – there's a lot of clubhouses down there.
A lot.
Where they have meetings. And they have
all
like pool
long.
Tables. Yep. And, you know, it's like a place where people can just go and hang out.
Yeah, there's a lot of treatment down there, isn't there? A
lot.
Tons of it.
And, of course, that people are drawn to that because of the weather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But is that a good thing? I mean, I didn't have it that – when I went to rehab, I went to a rehab. You know, there weren't TVs in the rooms. All that kind of stuff.
I try to bait people as a counselor in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, so it's 25 degrees outside. Would you like to go to Florida and get clean? You know, and it's amazing how that can work sometimes where they're like, yeah, I'll go. I'll go to rehab.
Do you know of any treatment centers in the Caribbean?
I don't. I imagine.
I mean, they have to have them.
Sure, they must have some.
Because they have meetings all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a cool place to go.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Jamaica, man.
Jamaica. And that invite, Gary goes to Jamaica every single year.
Right. That's right. That's right. That would be nice to get clean. Listen, it's all about you want to get clean. You know, you can get clean anywhere you want.
Yeah, but it's in the middle of February here, and it looks awfully nice to get down to Florida.
It depends what your intentions and your motives are by going to Florida.
Well,
and maybe you don't even have to know. You know, I think when I went in, I don't know about you guys, I wasn't planning on getting clean. I was beating a charge at that point.
Yeah, your story.
And then it's changed.
Special.
Something happened, you know? So
Stryker or what? Where was it? You
Strecker.
Went? Strecker.
You know, remember
the Institute.
The Institute. Yeah. I was just the best, man. I wouldn't want to go back, but it was definitely the best.
They had a pool, right?
Oh, yeah. Indoor pool, outdoor pool.
Nice. Did you swim?
I was on welfare when I went.
And you went?
Yeah. No, I didn't swim.
You didn't use the pool.
No, I didn't use the pool. Listen, when we come back, I hope some of this audience will get involved in this. You know, it's a touchy subject. Maybe it's a little uncomfortable if you don't believe what you're supposed to believe in order to get into recovery. Call us and let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hey, everybody, this is Tommy James, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio, and so am I.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We certainly are back, folks.
We're back.
How uncomfortable are you? If I asked you a question, and you don't have to give me the right answer. If somebody says to you, do you believe in a higher power? If you don't, are you embarrassed to say You don't believe in a higher power? I'm not saying you two. I'm just saying in general. Are people embarrassed that they're not, you know, like on board with everybody else?
I'll tell you, it spooks a lot of people.
It's touchy. People are really afraid of talking about it. People don't like to talk about it. And then people do use it as an excuse. Well, I'm not going to AA because they mentioned God in the second chapter 42 times. And you try to explain that it's not that. And what I was going to say before the break was you're too young to remember this meeting in Frankfurt Avenue called Young Men's.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm talking to
him.
He's 20
you
years
wish,
young.
Right?
So at Young Men's, the sponsors were a little tough. Yeah. And they had these street guys, like you have the people in Kensington. And you couldn't do this today. But they would handcuff them to the radiator. And they would tell them that the metal Sucretz box was their higher power, and they had to carry it with them everywhere. And when they couldn't watch them, they would handcuff them to the radiator and say, that's your higher power. And there's a famous story in the Big Book of a guy who made the toilet his higher power and all this stuff. So if you can convince, if somebody has an open mind, honesty, openness, willingness, if they have an open mind except to that one thing, you can say, well, your higher power can be anything. It can be that cloud. It can be the memory of your grandmother. For me, it's that. I think my grandmother's looking down on me, you know? So it can be anything that's not you, that's not your brain giving you the wrong message. Anything outside of you would be a great thing. Gary still can't believe in something greater than himself.
No, that's not true. I just understand the process of – I understand a higher power, believe me. And I, you know – how do you explain higher power to somebody? How does higher power keep you clean and sober? How does that work?
The greater good that you're going to now maybe that you have something outside of you, a value.
Okay.
We talk about values when we in our groups. We talk about what are your personal values? What are your moral values? What are your ethics? That's a greater thing than the person about being ethical or being kind to others. So any of those things could be their higher power, and it could take them somewhere else, and they don't have to believe in God. But it is touchy when you ask people about that, and a lot of people stay away from programs because of it.
Because, and also they think they need to say the rhetoric. Listen,
exactly.
What I totally believe in is whatever keeps you sober is what you should believe in and what you should – and what you should do, conduct your life. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I try to explain when I'm working with people that whole idea of like it can be the great outdoors. It can be the group. It can be, you know, there's people that have used Native American spirituality. And it's amazing because you see people lighten up about it when you come with that approach.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Where
it takes a seriousness out of it,
doesn't
it? It
does.
It does, exactly.
Yeah, it does. It was pretty ingenious that, you know, they kind of went with higher power. I think on the AA side, people get more spooked, you know, because there's a lot of God and people, you know, on the NA side, you see less, more higher power.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. The book's written differently, more modern.
That's interesting. Yeah. I know that I gravitated to AA immediately, even though alcohol was not my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. I personally felt more comfortable in there. It felt like there was more substantial sobriety. Now, that was a long, long time ago. So I have no idea what it's like in an NA meeting. Is it mainly – is there good sobriety?
Yeah.
No, there definitely is. It's there's not as much as in AA. You know, and I think part of that is you get a lot of young opioid addicts with this huge relapse rate. But you do have some dinosaurs in there that have years and years clean.
Yeah, yeah. You know. It's great, man.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I remember way back, you know, and I think it has relaxed considerably now. I mentioned narcotics in an AA meeting, and the old heads in there got up and walked right out of the meeting.
Wow.
That happened many times at my Friday night meeting, and eventually that person, who I won't mention, eventually moved on somewhere else. But he – one day a girl got up and talked about stopping smoking and how upset and anxious she was, and you know how you get in a bad mood? And he jumps up in the middle of her sharing and just said, go out and buy a pack of cigarettes right now. And like he was this old-time guy. He's like, we're not talking about that here. And it didn't matter what it was if it wasn't alcohol. This guy didn't want to hear about it. Well, scared so many people away.
I sort of understand the old heads.
Yeah.
It was alcohol don't bring these young punks in here. Let's just keep it the way it was, and it's working. But times are changing.
Yeah, it's really kind of frustrates me because I hear people get spooked because of that, you know, and here's the bigger picture. Like, you want to spook somebody out of going to meetings, you know, I mean, yeah, like over this stupid, you know, thing, you know, in NA, sometimes people get mad when people say I'm an addict and an alcoholic and it breaks traditions. And that's true and all. But it's funny, if you listen way back to Jimmy Kay,
yeah,
who was he used to say that.
Exactly.
He's the guy that pretty much founded NA. You say, yeah, I'm an addict and an alcoholic. But what I'm getting at is, like, why come so strong? Because, I mean, some people, it might be their first meeting that they're going to, and they're like, wow, these people are mean in here. I'm not going to come back.
I've heard people say to me, you don't mention NA or AA. You don't promote that on the air.
Oh.
Against tradition. And I say to them, I'll mention whatever the hell I want. The idea of this whole thing is to get clean and sober and to live a nice life.
And do you think, I mean, it's with technology and everything like that, I wonder if the founders would have tweaked things a little bit at this point with 100,000 people dying a year. You know, would they be more at press, radio, and films? That's what you wonder.
Well, you know what it reminds me of when you said that? I wonder if the founding fathers would have been tweaking the Constitution if they were around today. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know? I guess it's the same thing. I don't know. If you're in need of help, listen, you're listening to us, you're watching us, you need help, somebody you know needs help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662. That's 1-800-662. Give it a shot. I mean, they can help you. And if you're just joining us, Linda, Mark, and I are talking about different ways to get into recovery.
Mark Willig says something funny here.
He
says, look in the rearview mirror when a cop is following you. Does the word God come to mind?
That's funny. That's funny. Robert Keepsay.
He's the man. Robert has been on the show, and he owns recovery houses in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah,
Great guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're acting like they're doing something, but they are not. In Philadelphia, it's getting worse, and he's seeing it.
He's right.
He's seeing it right there. He's on the front lines, you know.
Mark, read the response from Laura's story. What did she say?
She said, I was put on a Greyhound bus from Michigan to Florida on a Friday afternoon, and on Monday morning, I got in a car with my sister. I didn't want to ride with her, didn't know where I was going with her. But I needed a drink. We pulled up to this big place, and this guy was standing there, and it was the best thing I ever did. That guy says, we don't shake hands here, we hug. He walked up to me in front of the office, had me sign a paper that had a lot of zeros on it, and I asked him what this was, and he said it was a confidential piece of paper. What you see and what you hear here, it has to stay here. That's the first day I started and it worked there for 2.5 years. And that for 2.5 years, I stayed sober. That place closed down. I was lost again. 2010, I came back to Florida. I walked back into the rooms again, and I'm still here. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself.
That's awesome.
And resilience.
That's right. That's great.
Congratulations,
yeah,
Laura.
Congratulations.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
That's good stuff. Stan W. from Philadelphia wrote into us and said, enjoy the show and thank you both for giving back every Friday. That's nice. Jerry C. from the Bronx, New York.
Oh.
Linda, that's your territory.
Yep.
Tell me how can I tell my story on your show? I've been clean for 3 years.
Call us up right now, Jude.
Call us up. Leave a message on our Clean and Sober Broadcasting website.
Yeah. I'd love to hear more stories, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah, come on, people, wake up.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think about what you need to do to stay sober. It's 888-728-9941. That's 888-728-9941. Gary is testing my memory over here. He's taking the paper with the number, and he's turning it over.
Well, Mark, if I'm going by the article, either you or Linda wrote, that your brain is aging because of the cocaine use.
You're like 95 years old.
You're 95.
I mean, if it was Quaalude use, you'd be –
dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, dead.
So I don't want to be a wet blanket, but Mark and I want to tell everybody in what cases we might assess someone who has to go to rehab medically, clinically. And usually the two reasons that stands out are alcohol withdrawal and benzodiazepine.
Is that just detox, Linda?
Yes. The reason they need detox is because both of those situations you can have a seizure.
But do they need treatment after detox?
They can go to meetings after. I mean, they don't have to sit there for 30 days. No, but there are some people who need to be admitted for a medical condition. If they already suffer from seizures, it's a good idea to put them in. But alcohol and benzos, so sometimes, you know, people talk about the difficulty of getting in. And Mark can address this more than me, but it used to be you had to have something in your system. Now you can go and ask. We used to have people, and they would tell them, go home and use and come back again. And that we realized that was ridiculous about 4 years ago.
Right.
So you don't have to do that, but you're more likely to get treatment for alcohol or benzos, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's with one thing to remember, too, is, you know, alcohol and benzos, you know, you worry about seizures and everything, but also opioids. People get so dehydrated and so sick that it can actually get to a point where it can be life-threatening.
Yes,
you know?
Especially with the trank and the new infections.
Yes.
Those people need to be in the hospital as well.
Yeah.
But for the detox, we're not saying they have to sit for treatment the rest of the time. They can choose anything they want from all the things we've talked about. There's smart recovery. There's what is the other one? Dharma recovery.
What is Dharma recovery?
It's Buddhist rather than God.
Okay.
You know, Linda from the movie, she has a Dharma meeting. Remember Linda from that movie we saw about the American family?
Yeah.
She runs a Dharma meeting in Havertown.
Yes.
So I've been to it, and it's good.
It's good information you're giving out.
And there's no mention of what you're addicted to. So you could go to that meeting and be addicted to games, people, gambling, money, anything. And nobody really talks about the addictive stuff. It's more about being on a path to recovery and the Four Horsemen and all that good stuff. It's a great, great meeting.
And you can actually do both, which is cool.
Yeah, sure. Good information.
And, a lot of meditation.
And, you know, the the excuse that some people use, I don't have money. You don't have to.
These things are all free.
Everything's free. Meetings are free. And a lot of the treatment centers have scholarship money, and you can get into these places. So, yeah, we all like to play games. You know, I can't do it. I can't do it because of la, 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 la. If you want it or think maybe you do want it, or maybe you don't even want it, but try it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this show right now and you're having a problem, you know, reach out. Reach out. I mean, it's amazing. I hear these stories about how somebody, you know, is so much in addiction and just can't get themselves to reach out. And when they finally reach out, the change happens. Like they finally let other people help them, you know. And so if you're listening to this right now, just, you know, reach out to somebody in recovery. Reach out to a helpline. Reach out to a rehab. Whatever you can do.
Yeah, and you know? And dovetail on what you said, start with something and it will open up a path that you have no idea that you'd be fortunate enough to take.
And you're not alone, because remember how alone you felt? I mean, like you're the only one on earth with this problem. You know, like you're not alone. Like, you know, there's so many people that can help.
So many people can
help. Absolutely.
Look, the three of us sitting here, who in the world would have thought?
Especially,
I mean, we didn't know each
dad.
Other, which
right,
is which is another great reward of this program. You meet people. They're not all good. All right, let's stop that. But you can meet so many really great people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just – well, it's funny because I, you know, as a therapist, and Linda can attest to this, it's amazing the changes you see. Like there's some people that you would think was never going to be able to get clean, you know, and they're the ones to get clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like where you're just like, how is this person going to do it? And then you have somebody that you really think has a great chance and they don't,
yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's
right.
Amazing. And then you look around meetings and you're like, wow, like how did everybody in here get this time? You know, because it's hard, don't you think?
Yeah. I also wonder in these meetings after years, where did everybody go?
That's true, too.
Did they stay clean?
Yeah.
Did they? Because a lot of people, for not necessarily they went out, but they move. They do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Disappear.
They disappear.
Usually not a good sign.
Right. Usually. That's it. Usually is not a good sign.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how, like, when somebody does relapse, how sometimes, like, they will go ghost. You know,
sure.
Nobody can reach them. Nobody can, you know, just gone off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe come back, you know, so.
That's a hard. I'll tell you something. If somebody relapses and come back, I give them the world of credit because I sometimes think to myself, could I actually do that?
It's a big test on the ego.
That is
really difficult.
That's way bigger than starting off going to meet. You know, coming back is a bigger test.
When I came back and Gary and everybody welcomed me, they didn't know that I had been out. And, you know, I was going for a year every day. And then I went to some meeting to get my 1 year coin. And somebody that we know very well jumped up and said, you're getting your 1 year coin. Like, I think I would have had 27 years that year had I not relapsed. And as I'm going to get the coin, the guy just jumps up in the middle of the meeting and says, I can't believe it. What happened to you? I thought I was going to die. I had gone to all my regular meetings. And when I got to Gary, I said, I'm so ashamed. You're the last group I'm telling. And they said, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And
you got to be real strong to come back.
It was so hard to go back and say to people that I used pills after 26 years clean from alcohol. It was torture.
But you did it.
I had to do it. Had to do it. I would have lost everything. You can lose your family, your job. You can lose everything. So it's, it's a miracle when you get it. It's beyond your wildest dreams. It's worth trying. It's worth trying more than one meeting. Find people you like. Try the free stuff first. If you're curious, come out and try the stuff that's for free.
But you know what's interesting? We can give advice and, if you're giving advice to somebody who is in an addiction, can they take the advice?
Depends how much pain they're in.
Is that what it is, Mark?
Yes.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the willingness comes with pain a lot of times. And those doors do open when there's enough pain.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And just think of the misery. I mean, we've all been there, how miserable you get, So if anybody's sitting there and they just know they're in this misery, why not try something different?
You can absolutely get out of your misery.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't care what you're on, how long you've been on it. Everybody has the opportunity to get clean and sober as long as you're alive.
Absolutely.
I love how in the traditions it says all you need is a desire. And you see, like, if people continue going, they get it eventually, which is just a miracle.
Yeah. I love going to a meeting and seeing somebody come in you haven't seen in years or you grew up with.
Right.
And
in the beginning, you'd be terrified, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You run into somebody in the very beginning.
I was in a meeting in Paris.
Yeah.
And, I go
French?
To Paris a lot.
Was it a French? Were you speaking French?
The English-speaking Paris meeting. That everybody goes to.
Well, I don't know which one it was, but there was somebody in there from the rehab that
That's
I was in.
That's funny.
Really?
Yeah. That was really cool.
I have a dear friend who's going to that meeting every day now on Zoom.
Really?
And she made that her home group. But of course, because it's a noon meeting in Paris, she has to get up at 6 in the morning. So I said to her, unless you find a nighttime one, I'm out. But I've been to that meeting in Paris. I loved it.
My brother was going to a Zoom meeting out of New York, and my brother is down in Florida in Fort Lauderdale, and he's in the spot where he wanted to get this place to live and everything, and he went to the local pool, and somebody called over, and they're like, Pete, is that you? And it was a friend of his from the meeting, the Chelsea morning meeting out of New York.
That's great.
And this guy had a place for him to stay once they got talking. But
cool.
Here it is, this
That's
guy's
amazing.
On the meeting and out of, what are the chances of that? Talk about higher power moment, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Again, I'm going to ask people to give us a call. We're running out of time. This is your opportunity to let us know how you really, really, really feel about getting into recovery without being judged. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HireCalling.org. That's HYERCalling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back. We are back. It's like pulling teeth that I get somebody to call in here.
I think people are, it's you know weather. What I think? It, yeah, I think they're laying out in the sun.
I don't
That's
care where they're
to.
Laying
and
out.
And they're Mark. Chilling out and they don't feel like picking up their phone.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's a good point. It's a good way to think.
It's a good way to look at it, right?
I mean, yeah, it's a good way to look at it. Would you pick up your phone? If you were laying out in the sun and you heard us bozos calling you to call.
Hell no.
No.
No, but you know what the option – but the thing, good thing is these same people can be listening to the show later on because of the podcast.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hey, here's one. Mark C. from Key West, Florida. Are you considered – here's another one. Are you considered clean and sober if you use – I'm going to rephrase this – drugs that are prescribed to you that are could be street drugs like Percs and stuff like that?
Here is one of those questions that is controversial thing, but I'll say the official position. Yeah. The official position that you see in 12-step programs is if it's taken as prescribed by a doctor, as prescribed, it's not considered a relapse. But I think it's a personal thing. You know what I mean?
That's the whole thing. It's honesty.
It's honesty. Yeah. Because like, are you?
Yeah. You want to fool yourself? Go ahead.
You can get a marijuana prescription without any, you know, anywhere. You know, and things like that. But so I guess it's an honesty factor with yourself.
And if you want to be dishonest, you're only hurting yourself. You could fool yourself all the time. I mean, I do know some people who have been on Percs for 40-some years. And you do too, Lynn. And are they sober?
Are they, are they taking it as prescribed for a medical condition, right? And so sometimes you do get legitimate pain. The thing is somebody abusing it, you know, are they abusing it? I just couldn't see. That has to be really hard to not take it as prescribed.
If you talk to a surgeon now, they say 4 weeks is it, unless it's something much more serious. They're saying 4 weeks and we'll reassess, and a lot of them will not give something for more than a month now. And that's another reason we have so many people down in Kensington because they can't get the bills.
That seems like 4 weeks. You can get hooked on something.
Absolutely.
But it's the max that they can give right now. So they'll give it for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. But they don't prescribe the way they used to.
You can get it
for years and years.
They can't because the prescription monitoring program.
That's it.
But would you guys agree it's a honesty thing, you know?
Yeah. Is it taken as prescribed by the doctor for a condition, you know?
But listen, I know in the old days I would have a doctor write a prescription for me. So he wrote the prescription. So now it's okay.
Would you take it as prescribed?
No, of course
that's
not.
That's the question, right?
But, well, the stuff that I was prescribed, you don't take it.
Yes, the Quaaludes.
Yeah,
that's
all that
a whole
stuff.
Different story.
The speed, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I know this
slippery
question,
slope.
It comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there's no real answer except what you got in your own gut, if you want to be truthful.
And you can see it, like if we're not being honest with ourselves, addiction's just going to come roaring back, right? So you might have somebody that's been on something for 15 years for a serious injury, but they're not abusing it and they're holding jobs and their family and all that stuff. And it didn't come roaring back, you know, so.
Yeah, it's can you actually do that? Can you? Can an addict actually take this stuff for a while and then stop? And then the question is the person an addict? You know, I've heard those stories. He's not really an addict because he could stop. Doesn't matter if he started up again.
Yeah, it's a matter of what happens when you start, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Rachel W. from Madison, Wisconsin writes, can you tell me why getting into treatment is so difficult? It's not.
Yeah, these days it seems like a lot of the barriers have been lifted. And isn't there a national hotline that you can call?
Yeah, 1-800-662-HELP.
There you go.
We have a caller on the line. Ben, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. What's doing?
You know, I'm a bozo laying out in the sun listening to you.
But you called in,
yes,
Ben.
Exactly. I figured I'd give you a shot. You sounded lonely today.
Yeah, we were lonely.
Yeah, we were lonely. You saved the show, Ben. Okay.
Oh, stop. No, it's been a good show, and I think you guys were making some fantastic points. I met a young woman last night before I went into a meeting. She was less than 24 hours off of a relapse, and I was sitting with some friends of mine, and this young woman agreed to read one of the books with us, and we all shared experience, and you know, either coming in for the first time or coming in off of a relapse is one of the most difficult things that anybody does to make that decision. And I think that it one of the reasons I advocate for 12-step programs, not just out of my own experience but in my life, is because you find somewhere a welcoming environment where people understand you, that, you know, as a recovering person myself, when I came in, I didn't trust anyone that didn't think like me, that hadn't been through things like me. And finding a group of people that understood was one of the things that allowed me to stay sober longer and be willing to come back and trust these people. You know, I didn't trust doctors. I didn't trust cops. I didn't trust judges, lawyers, anybody like that. But you give me another drunk, another junkie, and I can trust.
Well, it comes to the point. It talks to the point of community and not isolation. And it is so important to surround yourself, especially early on, as you said, Ben. You want to do that? I'll give you something. So all good points, and thank you so much for the call.
Yeah. No, sorry about the siren. You guys have a good day.
You too, Ben. Have a great day.
Yeah, it's good point. Good points. All right, we're coming to the hour again. This went pretty fast, guys.
It did. It always does, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, so
it
fast.
Does.
Flies by.
You know, does anybody in our audience know about who takes this filming? It's Brad, our CBS alumni. Brad, turn the thing and show everybody who you are.
He hates when you do this, Gary.
I know he does.
He does. Really? You put him right on blast.
There you go. That good-looking guy is Brad. Brad Risch.
Hi, buddy.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
Everybody is a star. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.